Lord, we're all very aware of your presence right now, and I believe that there are some things that you intend to do here tonight, that you have set the stage, you have been working. It's a continuation of some things that you've already been doing today in a number of directions. And Lord, we just want to offer ourselves to you right now and invite you to do just that, Lord. It is very unclear what you want to do tonight, but it is very evident that you intend to move among us this evening. So, Lord, we thank you for that, and we come in great anticipation just because you are so present and so touching our hearts already. Lord, we invite you to lift anything, to clear away and to lift anything that is in the way. We don't want to miss you tonight in any way, Lord. No kind of heart arguments that push away the movement of God. No opposition that would seek to block the things that you want to do in lives tonight. Lord, we come against all of that and ask you in your mercy and your grace, Lord, to lift and clear those things and make this a time where each one of us is just in a place that is between you and each person, each one of your kids here. So, Lord, we thank you for this time tonight. We bless your name. And we invite you to show us what we need and pour out upon us, Lord, and prepare us for the things that you have chosen for us. Prepare us. Prepare our hearts. Continue to minister the word you were pouring out this morning to each one of us. Lord, we give you praise and thanksgiving for that. In Jesus' name. Thank you. This is a this is kind of a different evening, and I'm not really sure what exactly it's about, but I'll tell you what I know, and then we'll all be in it together here. This morning, was it any time at church this morning? All of those of you who were there? Man, the Lord was moving, and it was just so neat. I left there feeling like whatever was going to happen tonight was some kind of continuation of what the Lord was doing this morning, because he just kind of keeps going with us, doesn't he? You know? So I went home and prayed about that. I said, Lord, you know, you want to change anything? Because I felt like what I had prepared wasn't quite it. So I asked the Lord what he wanted to do. And he said, it's Michael's night. This is about 2:30. I was a little late getting home today. So I know. So I said, do you want me to call him? let him know, you know. And I thought that was kind of funny. I was just, you know. But actually, the Lord answered me. Yes, so that he could finish hearing. And that spoke to me, because I think there were some things that Michael was sharing this morning, some word that he was bringing forth this morning, that probably there's some more to it. So I called him up. He took it well, actually. He did. He took it well. Actually, I appreciate that about Michael. He's very open to the Lord. If he has a sense that God is moving and there's kind of an open thing that he's doing, he just says, okay. Which is a cool quality, huh? So, that's all I know. And, surely you know more. That's good. That'll start. So, I'm going to turn it over to Mike.
Well, for those of you who were not there this morning, and those of you who will be listening who aren't even in the state, The Lord poured out a great deal this morning in regard to a message to those who feel sidelined from ministry. Sidelined, disqualified, for whatever reason, whether it's someone in their past said to them, you know, you aren't good enough, or you haven't jumped through these hoops, or you don't have the right education, or whatever the thing is, or whether it was an internal disqualifying, you know, I failed, I'm not good enough, I can't do it. And, you know, our pastor Ted had just finished sharing that he's going to be going to Zambia, and there's this great work that the Lord is doing over there, which is not just a ministry of our pastor, but it's the ministry of the church. And one of the things, Ted, actually I wanted to share with you after the service, but one of the things the Lord put on my heart was that you are going to prepare the way and really build the trail and the bridge for the people that will be going back and forth. You know, it's, and you know that. It's not about you or Ted Lawler Ministries or whatever. It's never been that, and I know it's not that. That's not your heart. But it's about setting the stones in place on the trail so that people can find their way there and do what the Lord calls them to do. And so that, if you can imagine, from in Africa and then California, you can imagine what that looks like. There's a very long trail. It's about an 8,000-mile trail, actually. But if you think about it in the spirit, it's I'm doing a work here. I'm preparing it. It's been a long preparation. There's been a lot of things that have happened. There's more going to happen. And I'm readying this body of people and putting it on certain hearts to go. And now I'm making a way to go. And when you think about it, it's part of the trail. It's part of the path that the Lord is building for ministry. So what was on my heart when Susan called me and she said this thing, she said, immediately in the spirit I began to see what the Lord was saying. And it was a continuation from this morning. But there was more to it. And really what I felt like was two things. One, coming here tonight, you know, it's like I'm seeing a lot of the same faces I've seen. You know, we've got our Orange County crowd, we've got our local crowd, we've got folks from all over. But you know, this far down the line, I don't know if you realize how long we've been meeting, but it's been some time. But the way that people were, I mean, just to get people together, gathered up so that we could start, was harder because people are comfortable and gelling and talking and there's a comfort level. And I feel like as a group, we've turned a corner. And I don't just mean socially, because I think there's that to it, comfortable. But I also feel like there's been a corner turned in regard to people's ability to hear and receive and pick and take up what's being shared and move forward with it. And I felt that this morning in church. I felt like the church had turned a corner. It had been some weeks since I'd been there, and I came in and I was sensing a whole different spirit in the church, a whole new sense of unity. I sensed that tonight. Did you sense on that last song there was a unity and power that can only come from people joining together, you know, especially when people come from different backgrounds and they're coming from different churches. There's a joining that happens that only the Spirit can do. And I sensed that this morning in church, and I thought, okay, this is what you're doing because you're preparing for this work and you're joining everyone together in unity because you're getting ready to shoot a bunch of people out there to Africa and you're getting ready to explode a lot of other ministries. There are things that will come out of that we don't even know. But what it will come out to is that the people of God are going to take up the things that God has called them to do, and they're going to do them. Praise the Lord. Right? And that's what we're about here, isn't it? One Accord is a ministry to help us all through our stuff. That's the real simple version of it, is to be joined with the Lord in our hearts to get through the things that have kept us down from not just doing things for God, but from being with God. Personally, intimate, being with God. And that's where the most awesome ministry happens. This morning there was a prophecy. It was a very simple, very sweet word. Talking about, the gentleman that gave it said, are you on the way to the heavenly valley? Are you going there? And I got such a witness to that. And the Lord began to say to me, what's the heavenly valley? What's in the heavenly valley? The heavenly valley is the place of His presence. It is the place where He dwells, where His kingdom is active and alive and empowered, and where His people are empowered to just to be and to do everything that He's called us to be and to do. But the most important aspect of the heavenly valley is it's a place of being with the Lord. We are with Him there. I've got two psalms I need to read. And it's amazing because Judy picked these songs and we're singing them. I'm like, okay. Well, you know what you're doing because you gave me the psalms that a lot of those songs come from. So I'm going to read these two psalms to you. And the first one is Psalm 23. And the Lord laid this on my heart. And I'm going to make a couple of observations about it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Where are those? What's He talking about? Where are these green pastures? Where are the still waters? He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Where are the paths of righteousness and where are they going? Where are they located and where are they going? That was that ministry this morning. Are you on the way to the heavenly valley? The paths of righteousness, that's how we get there. And also, they run through the heavenly valley. Now listen to this. Even though I walk, not even though I may walk, or even though I will walk, or if I should walk, but even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Many of you have already experienced the ministry of the Lord in restoring your souls, ministering to areas of pain. And does it not feel just like walking through the valley of the shadow of death? The areas in our lives where death has touched us. Pain, wounding. These are the valley of the shadow of death. We walk through that. But even though I walk through them, I will fear no evil. You know why? Because the enemy cannot take you out of His hand. He cannot remove us from His hand, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and have to face the dark things in our lives. The Lord said to me, He says, tell them where they're going. That's what He said to me. He says, tell them where they're going. And that's, I'm trying to paint this picture to you. I like the heavenly valley because it's just a great phrase. Let me read Psalm 91. This is another psalm that the Lord laid on my heart that describes this journey. It describes the valley. It describes a lot of the things in between. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Now, that last part isn't necessarily part of my message today, but you will see. This path of healing is one where we only are safe when we're tucked in under the shadow of the Most High. The feathers around us of comfort and the promise that as we walk this path, we are not going to be snatched off of it by the enemy. Now, we can choose to say, no, I'm not going any further. We can choose to say, that is way too painful of an area of my life. I'm not going to go there. We can choose. But the enemy cannot take us from that path. I got a vision. Susan had one that was very similar, and we shared them, and we were kind of, you know, going, oh my gosh, that sounds like the same thing. A while back, this was probably at least maybe a year ago, and I probably shared this before, but sharing it again now, I think we're all in a different place to hear it. We were, and there's a lot of parts to it, but the part that I want to sort of highlight is that we were running in this field. If you can picture a field, bright sunshine, there was a glow to it, you know, like the glory of God, just a glow to it, and there were wildflowers everywhere, and we were running through this field, and we had like white gowns on, and we were running towards this amazing, huge, bright ball of light that was the glory of God. We knew it was the glory of God. And we were running with abandon across this field. And we shared that. It was like, wow, that is so cool. There was such a power in it. And then as we began to pray and hear more about the group, a group, what it would look like, what it might be about, what we were... I mean, there were so many questions that we had. We began to see visions of that same vision, only instead of just the two of us running that field, there were crowds of people with us running. Crowds of people running with utter abandon and freedom and liberty towards the glory of God. And that vision is what I believe those Psalms are about that. David is talking about how the Lord leads us to God's presence, to His presence. He heals our hearts. He restores our soul. He keeps us safe from all of the things that are going to try to keep it from happening. Because God's commitment to our healing is much greater than our own. It's much greater than our own. That's the thing, the faithfulness of God. You know, you might say, I am going to go on a diet. And I have said that. And it's going to be, this time, it's going to be the diet. And it's this great one. You know, all the books and magazines say this is the best one. I'm going to go on it, and I'm going to be committed to this thing, and I'm going to feel great and look great when I'm done. And about halfway through it, it's Thanksgiving Day, and you can't eat any more than you have eaten. And you're like, whoa, what happened? Vacations happened. Holidays happened. Something happened, and I just forgot. But what about that commitment that I made 2 months ago? What about that? Folks, that's what we're made of. We are like that. We commit to things. Some of us are more disciplined than others of us. We all have different levels of that. But generally speaking, it's like we fail when we commit things, we fail. But that's why we are so reliant upon the Lord, because His commitment to us gets us through. I remember a time in my life when I felt so far from God, from the church. And in those days, I saw them as the same. You know, I saw the church and God as the same. If you're far from the church, you're far from God. And you know, that was also taught from the pulpit where I was. So, you know, I was kind of caught up in that. And I knew that was not right, but you know, I was in a place, and I was actually in the desert, literally. I was in the high desert, and it was I had just gotten back from some missions work in Africa, and I was going through this reverse culture shock. You know, Ted knows what I'm talking about. Anyone who's been there for any length of time knows what I'm talking about. The first like 2 weeks in Africa, you're sick with the smells, and it's just the smell of diesel fuel and the sounds and it's just overwhelming. Then you get used to it, and when you come back, just the fact that there's gutters without sewage, it's just like, whoa, that's really weird. There's so many things that you don't realize. You know, you don't hear anything. You don't smell the sounds of. You don't smell people burning their trash. You don't. You say, oh, that's sick. But when you're in Africa, that's part of the ambiance. That's what's happening when you're there. It's not everywhere, but where I was. But when I came back, I felt very very detached from my church, who hadn't really supported me over there. They thought I was too young to go, and they were like, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this, you're not ready. And I was like, wait a minute, hey, I'm 23, you know, and I've been to Bible college, and I've got a calling, and I want to, and it's the Lord saying it to my heart, I'm going. So I went, and a couple key people supported me, but basically the leadership of the church did not support me going. So when I was there, I worked with local pastors, but I didn't have anything coming from the U.S., no letters, nothing. And it was just me, and there were no other Americans with me. And but I learned, you know, I learned how to just... I had hard times, but I also had some amazing times with the Lord, because when you minister overseas or in places where people just haven't heard the gospel much, the response is just so amazing. You don't have to manufacture anything, okay? It's all right there. The people just overwhelm you. In fact, they'll exhaust you. And I was back in the U.S. feeling very alone. And I had joined a friend of mine owned a roofing company, and I joined the roofing crew so I could be out of town on weekends legitimately. That's the only way I could justify, you know, not being in that church on a Sunday. I had to work. Now, if it happens, it's not because of that. But I was in the high desert, and I remember walking, you know, in the early morning, because you have to get up early and work, or else you're just not going to, you know, you get up early and you quit early. And it was just barely sunrise, and I was walking in the sand, and it was a cool, crisp, beautiful morning out in the high desert. And I just remember looking at the sky and saying, Lord, I have nothing left to offer. I have no energy for you. I have no energy for your work. I don't have any desire to go into this church. And I was singing and leading men's ministries and doing all kinds of stuff. I said, I don't have any energy for anything. And I don't see where you stop and start and the church stops and starts. I don't see what it had blended together for me. And right then, my commitment to God was at its lowest ebb. And the Lord just spoke to me, and I sensed His presence right there in that moment. And I remember just being out in the desert and just weeping. And no, the next weekend I wasn't back in church and everything okay, because it took years for me to get through that place. But He showed me that no matter how far I stretched that connection to Him, no matter how far I went, no matter how far I stretched it, that He was immovable. He was immovable. He was not going to be moved away from a place of connecting in my life. And that was what I call where the rubber meets the road faith. And you know how you find out where that is? By having that something like that happen to you. You find out that no matter what you do, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And so how does the path begin? For a lot of us, the path begins in a place like that. It may be a literal desert. It may be the desert of the heart, the desert of the soul, a desert place in your life. It begins, we call out to God and we say, are you there? And somehow, He answers us. One way or another, He gets to us. And we begin that path to get to that place where we're running in the field. And you know, that's where we're headed, folks. We're headed to the place where we're running with abandon to embrace the Lord and be with Him in His valley. And to get there, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Wait a minute. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake? It's not about my honor. It's not about my reputation. It's not about my commitment. It's about His name, His commitment to me. He's leading me in this path for His name because He said He would, because He said He was going to, because that's what He came to do. And that's where we're headed. We are headed to the heavenly valley. We're headed to the heavenly valley. And this morning, I just sense that we're in a place, a new place, guys. I'm telling you, our church is in a new place. This group is in a new place. And I sense that where we're headed, we are going to see more and more of God's outpouring. We're going to see more. But here's the thing. I think we're going to get it. We're more of us are going to get it. What does that mean? That means that when the word comes out, we're going to go, oh, I get it. I understand what this means for me. I'm going to pray because that's what He's telling me to do. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would plant that vision in every heart. That You would put in every heart the vision of the heavenly place, the heavenly valley, the place of being with You that is so compelling to us that we will go through whatever it takes to get to there. That we will allow You into every place in our lives, Lord. That will enable us to get to that place with You. That we will allow You to draw us along these paths of righteousness that You have set in place. You have already made the way, Lord. From this place of unhealed woundedness to that place of liberty and freedom and peace and joy. You have already made the path from here to there. And Lord, I pray that for all of us that we can walk it with You. And that, Lord, that You would be our strength and our shield. That You would surround us with songs of deliverance, Lord. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in You and hide in You and be in You as You are bringing me forward towards that place, Lord, of abandonment and freedom. The place where my heart is completely healed and completely intimate with You, Lord. If You agree with that, just say You agree. Now each one of you, pray your own prayer. Where you are, where you want to be with the Lord. And what you need Him to do. The Lord is saying that He is moving and He is calling each one into that place with Him. And He will not let anything stand in the way. No obstacle is too great for Him. And He will remove every hindrance so that you can see Him as He really is. Not as a parent, not as a teacher or another authority figure, not as a teaching that was not Him, but as who he really is. Perfect unity. And as we walk on this path, he will draw us together in it. Because we're all heading towards the same goal. And just like a triangle, we cannot help but be joined together as we approach the point. We cannot help it. Lord, I ask that you would pour out a blessing on each one. Wherever they are tonight, Lord, where each person is with you, I pray that you would pour out a blessing on each person, that they would sense your presence, that they would sense the moving forward towards you, Lord, and that you would break through, Lord, every place where they cannot hear you, and that you would speak words of comfort and peace and encouragement and love.
When you were praying, and at one point when you were talking, I think that the Lord moves us in these ways Michael is talking about, kind of piece by piece, you know. He sends word, incidents, things that happen. We hear a particular thing that Ted preaches on, something, it stands out. We hear something in what Michael said tonight. It hits. One of the things, if we want to really take it up with the Lord, every time that happens, we need to keep revisiting that. When we get home, we need to say, okay, Lord, what about that? Help me receive that. Help me hear all the way through that. And we may need to do that for several days. How am I doing with that, Lord? You know, is that established? Am I actually moving into that? Do I have a hold of that? Has it transformed what it needs to transform in me? Am I, you know, it's a difference between we kind of hear it, say, oh, that's neat, you know, or we lean into it and say, Lord, help me get a hold of that. Help me take hold of that. Help me walk in that. You know, we need to be active in that way. I mean, if we want to, you know, that is our part, I think, in terms of he sends word, then what do we do with it? There are some places in my journal with certain things that the Lord has done where I know when I begin to hear it that it is just scratching the surface. It's breaking through, but I'm just barely getting it, you know. I know that there's a lot more to it. I'm just barely getting it. So when I'm aware of that, I'll take it up for several days and in the morning I'll say, okay, Lord, how are we doing with this? Where am I? Am I, you know, is it really getting through? You see what I'm saying? You know, we have an active role to take. Not necessarily to get him to do something, but to take it up when he does. Because I think he'll initiate it. But then we got to get a hold of it and move into it. You know, the thing that part of Galatians 2:20 this morning that really spoke to me is that the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by believing him who loved me and gave himself for me. But I get a hold of that. I believe him and move with him instead of weigh and assess. I've been really good at weighing and assessing. Yes. Let me see if this will work, Lord. I mean, I don't know. Is this going to work? Yeah, Judy.
The Lord just put that picture in my mind from that movie Forrest Gump where the kid's got the braces on his legs. And he just starts running with the braces. And he starts running and the braces fall away as he's running. And yes. I feel the Lord saying, start running.
Yes.
Don't look at the braces and what's on your... Just start running.
Yes.
Right.
Run toward him. You know what intimacy with God is. You know what you're after. You know what you're going for. Start running. And those braces that have been on your legs will just fall off when you're running.
Yes. That's so good.
The difficult part is to start. There's an inertia, a kinetic
that
energy.
That we're used to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just so hard getting going. But I think, especially as a church, I think if we start running, you're going to be, I mean, I see a guy running, man, and I'm going, this guy's running. and you know, I look around and I see there's all kinds of people that are starting to run. And it's great, man. It feels good. And I just feel like God's going to create this force in the earth that's irresistible. And the biggest challenge to the enemy is to keep it from picking up speed, man. Yeah. So he's doing everything that he can. So we need to hear. It's a day of visitation.
It is.
We have to recognize God is visiting us.
Yeah. Well, take a hold of it.
Yeah.
And if he says,
keep going.
And then if he gives us visions of what it looks like, where we're going, you know, it's like, man, you know, I see that, and you get so excited about it, and you know, we were talking about that earlier, you know, Jesus, who for the joy set before him, right, despised the shame. I mean, he despised the shame, you know, and took up the cross. And it's like he saw what was waiting.
Yes.
He saw what was waiting for him on the other side of the cross for us. And you know what? Folks, for himself too. I mean, he got to glory in it and be everything that God the Father had prepared for his life. He got to experience every promise about him. And he fulfilled everything. And he made it all the way through, and he got to the other side, and he did just like what Ted's doing for this church. He set the stones in place and said, now you can get through. And more than that, I'm coming back to help you through. Not only do you have to, no, I want you to follow me, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to come and I'm going to walk with you. And if you stub your toe, I'm gonna heal it, and we're gonna keep going. And it's like that's the path from the place where you can barely hear God to running with wild abandon to Him in intimacy and freedom and liberty, and the in between places are all glorious as well, because you know we go from glory to glory, and what does that look like? It looks like ministry and experiencing His presence and new things and songs and whatever it is your calling is, and El Salvador and places like that, and who knows what God has laid out for us. And you know, it's the most magnificent thing, but if we're walking, we're going to experience it. But if we don't believe Him, it's like the Lord has to work with us. We work with each other, saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to believe you more than I'm going to believe my own feelings or my own stuff or this thing that someone else said to me. You know, that I wasn't ready for ministry or I'm not ready for ministry. Well, folks, I studied Peter's life. If there's any person that was not ready for ministry, it was Peter. The man was not ready. The man wasn't ready when Jesus was crucified. He wasn't ready then. If you go by anything anyone teaches about readiness, and yet, look what he did. He made it. He made it all the way through. And even though Paul had to slap him a couple times, that was part of his growth. But that's what it's all about, you guys. It's like having a view of where we're headed. And knowing that it's going to be wonderful all the way. It's going to be wonderful all the way. It's not like dry, dry, dry until you get to that place. It's like, wow, Lord, your presence. You mean there's more? It's more than just experiencing your presence? I can experience your presence? Well, yeah, you can experience my presence, and we're going to go minister to this person. Really? So I get to experience your presence and see you work in someone else's life. That is the most magnificent thing I've ever heard of. And then we just keep doing that. And we become who we are meant to become.
Right.
And the Lord says that when we see Him face to face, that we will know Him as deep as He knows us. If that is even, you can even cram that into your head. Okay? So, bless you guys. Look at you. You're all on the path. You're all on the path of righteousness, and you're all doing different things, and you're all called to different things, but you're all called to be with Him. You're all called to be in intimacy with Him. And along the way, it's going to look different for every one of you. And what you do with it, and where you go with it, and where He sends you, that's just going to be marvelous to see that play out, because He is the author and the finisher of your faith. So this page is getting written on, and the next page is blank, so who knows what He's going to put in there.
Start running.
Run. Run.
Draw me out. Run out. That's right.
I want to pray something.
Pray something.
Lord, I've been hearing, or I guess reminded, that You have birthed some things in everyone's heart here. You have birthed some things. You have set some things in motion. You have called us. You have gifted us. You have initiated some things that You've chosen long ago. I pray that each one of us, Lord, would get a hold of those things afresh. That we would be, that You remind us of them. We
yes.
realize that whether they are happening or haven't happened, or we've gotten convinced they're not going to, all of that, Lord, revive those things afresh
yes.
and raise us up to take a hold of them
yes,
and just believe You that You said them, You birthed them, You will pour out everything that needs to happen. You are even now preparing
mm-hmm.
us for those moments and those outcomes. Just stir us up, Lord, to press through and get a hold of them. Knowing that You are faithful. It's not about our ability.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about our strength or our resource. It's not about any of that. You are faithful. You
yes.
will perform it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Help us rise up in that, Lord. Help us get a hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
And trust You to see us all the way through.
Yeah.
We give You praise and thanksgiving.
Yes, we do, Lord. Yes, we do.